Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. This is the Advent season, and if you want, you can make a simple Advent wreath. Just take 5 candles, one in the center, 4 around it, and join us when we light one in the service in just a few minutes. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're welcome to join us for that as well. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or just post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning. How is everybody? We ready to celebrate the joy that the Lord brings us? I hope you are. I hope you are. Please stand and join us in worship this morning in the launch service. Have a seat. It is a joy and a blessing to be with you this morning in worship. Thank you for being with us. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans, and he'll be preaching today on joy. We're in the third week of Advent, and so we are thinking about joy. And so I pray that the message this morning and the music and all parts of worship is a blessing to you. I have just a few announcements before we get started today. First of all, if you have an opportunity, please take a moment and log your attendance. You can do that a couple of ways. Kevin passed out connect tabs to you as you came in. You can fill those out and drop those into the offering plate. The other way you can do it is you can scan that QR code that's up on the screen and you can fill it out that way. If you're watching online, good morning and welcome to Asbury. You should have that QR code on your screen as well. Please make sure you include any and all prayer requests. We would love the opportunity to pray for you this week. We do still have pledge cards and covenant forms available if you still need to fill those out. Those are back at the usher table, so just flag down Kevin or Steve and they'd be happy to get those for you. We are also, as we do every Advent season, we are taking up a special offering. This year, we're doing that for Methodist Family Health, and the forms are back on the table as well. So if you'd like that, flag down an usher, and they can get that for you. This afternoon is going to be a wonderful afternoon at Asbury. Our kids are presenting a Super Christmas at 4 p.m., and so they will be putting on a wonderful play for all of us to come and watch, and then there will be crafts, and I think there's going to be a Santa appearance. So that's good for our little kids. It's also good for you big kids that need to come sit on Santa's lap and convince him that you've been nice this year. So he will be here to listen to your pleas and laments. I say that to also say, please, at the end of service, do not put the chairs up. We're going to leave those out today so we have them ready to go for our program this afternoon. This coming Tuesday is when we are going to give out our family-to-family boxes. This year we had, 135 family-to-family boxes filled and brought back by our Asbury family, which Carol said is the largest number we've had in many, many years. So hats Woo. Off to all of you. It's a blessing. Here's what's going to happen on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Carol is going to show up here with 135 chickens in her car. They aren't live chickens. Don't worry about that. But they are chickens nonetheless, and we need help unloading those. So if you can be here at 10 o'clock on Tuesday to come and help or just come and watch Carol Hammett and I do it and laugh, either way, just come and be here. We're going to give out as much of that and those boxes as well that morning. On Friday at 7:30, this coming Friday, the Hendricks College Choir will be here for their candlelight tour. As Brother Hammett mentioned last week, we are one of only two stops in Arkansas, the other being in Conway where they're based, but we will be the other stop. So it's a great opportunity to come and hear some beautiful music from the Hendricks College Choir. So that will be next Friday this coming Friday at 7:30. In this service next week, we will have our special music service, so please mark your calendars and plan to be here for that. This morning, we had the special music service in the sanctuary. It was beautiful, and I know our worship team here has a wonderful service lined out. On December 21st at 7 p.m. is our Blue Christmas service. If you've never heard of a Blue Christmas service, we do this every year for those who are experiencing a time of grief, of sorrow, who just want to come and sit in a space and find peace and find God's love during a difficult time, because the season of Christmas is not easy and joyful for everybody. And so it's an opportunity to come in a worshipful setting and experience God's love that way. On Christmas Eve, we will have three services. We will have a candlelight communion service in the sanctuary at 4 and 11. And then at 6 o'clock here in the WAC, we will have a contemporary Christmas service. Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. And so we will have one service in here at 11 a.m. on Christmas Day. Come dressed as you are. Come in your pajamas if you want to. Bring all those extra goodies that you're going to have left over that you don't want to eat once your resolution kicks in January 1st. And bring your favorite toy. If you're a child, bring your favorite toy. If you're 75 years old, bring your favorite toy. It's fine. Come and have fun that morning. And then on New Year's Day at 11 a.m., we will have one service in the sanctuary. It'll be a day of celebration with some very, very strong coffee. So please make sure that you are here at that time. And with that, the announcements are probably longer than the sermon today. So I invite you to take a moment, stretch your legs, get up, and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad you're here today. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat. You may also want to use this time to sign in or download the Sanctuary Bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the links below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
All right, a lot of good peace passed this morning. As we come back to our seats and regather for worship, I'd like to introduce the Odena family, and they will lead us this morning in the lighting of the Advent candle of joy.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
The prophet Isaiah tells us about the joy of ascending to God's house. The prophet tells us to imagine being set free, being unburdened, and being released to live, to fully live in the grace and wonder of life itself, surrounded by those who love us like no one else. And then he tells us that the journey to get there is just as much joy.
The psalmist says, "Happy are these whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith, who executes justice, gives food, sets prisoners free, opens eyes, lifts up, watches over, upholds. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord."
We light three candles: the candle of joyous hope, a proclaimed peace, and deep and everlasting joy, as a sign that we are those who walk with a skip in our step because we can see their destination and its pure joy. We are ascending to God's promise.
Thank you all so much. Please join me as we go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for this moment, for this time that we can come together to praise and glorify your name. God, we come together today with an attitude and spirit of joy, knowing that you meet us right where we are, that you give us and provide us all that we need in abundant blessings. We all come through the door today in different shapes and different conditions, with different hurts, with different sorrows, with different joys and with different hurts. And God, today we ask for an abundance of your grace be poured out on all of us. During this season of Advent, help us to see the beautiful gift that is on the horizon. Help us see in the manger your mighty power and all that you are going to do for us, all that you have done for us, all that you are doing for us. God, this morning we pray for all of those who are hurting, who are in need of your healing, of your love. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Barbara Clark and for Val Carr, for Joyce Dennis and Jean Hammett, for Mark Schimmer and David Hickman. We pray for Edith Roberts and Hugh Roberts. We pray for Gail Pulley. We pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know and trust that you're at work in all their lives in a mighty way, so we can do nothing but give you thanks. And God, above all else, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he has done, is doing, and will do in our lives, and all that he has taught us and continues to teach us. We thank you for this moment, this beautiful moment of prayer, where we can come to you with all that we are and all that we have, and know that in your eyes it is just enough. We thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We will now say that together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us this morning.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap this sleep? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and
seated.
At this time, I'd like to invite Nicole Rose up, our Director of Children and Young Families, and all of our children forward for the children's message.
Hello, hello. How are y'all? Good. You having a good day so far? Good. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I love it. Who can tell me what this time in our church right now is called? This time getting ready for Christmas. Advent, okay? And every single Sunday during Advent, we light one of these candles up here, right? Does anyone know what the candle represents today? Joy, that's right. It represents joy. What is joy? What does that word mean? When you're really happy. Excited, that's right. Well, we see the word joy a lot during Christmas. You might hear it in songs like Joy to the World. You might see it on a decoration. You might see the word joy. And the reason that we have joy during Christmas is because when Jesus was born, he brought Christmas joy. And that's a special kind of joy that we get to share with other people during this time, right? Okay, so I have something I'm going to teach you to help us remember what Christmas joy is all about. How do you spell the word joy? J-O-Y. Okay, so the first letter is what? J. So J reminds us, what do you think? About Jesus, that's right. Remembering that Jesus came to earth to show us what real love is about. So he brought that Christmas joy. What's the next letter? O. O represents others. others and showing others Christmas joy. Maybe people that are sad or hurt, we can show them joy. We can take joy to them, right? Okay, so we've got J-O and the last letter, Y. So Y can remind us of the word you, that you bring people joy and that you are special. Okay, so J-O-Y, Jesus, others, what's left? You, that's right. Okay, so I hope y'all can remember that. Okay, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. We pray for others that need your joy. We pray that each of us remember to share your joy during this season. We love you. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts and minds for this time of offering, I invite you to find the joy that Nicole just taught us about, Jesus, others, and you. And as we get a chance to participate in this kingdom building process, may you be moved by the Holy Spirit today through your time, your talents, and your gifts. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this moment to be part of your kingdom building. Thank you. Be with us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Call us to be the transformative vehicle you call us to be in this church at Asbury. In your son's name we pray. Amen. We have two scripture readings this morning. One is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. The second is from the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We're at Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, 8 through 11. The Lord God's Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for captives and liberation for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vindication for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for Zion's mourners, to give them a crown in place of ashes, oil of joy in place of mourning, a mantle of praise in place of discouragement. They will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord to glorify himself. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore formerly deserted places. They will renew ruined cities, places deserted in generations past. I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and dishonesty. I will faithfully give them their wage and make them an enduring covenant. Their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize that they are a people blessed by the Lord. I surely rejoice in the Lord. My heart is joyful because of my God, because he has clothed me with clothes of victory, wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom in a priestly crown, and like a bride adorned in jewelry. As the earth puts out its growth, and as a garden grows its seed, so the Lord God will grow righteousness and praise before all the nations. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-24. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't suppress the Spirit, don't brush off Spirit-inspired messages, but examine everything carefully and hang on to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. The one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. I can't promise that this will be shorter than the announcements, because I only had like 5 minutes to preach in the early service because of all the stuff that was going on in it. So y'all get the director's cut of the sermon, amen? You get all the like bonus features and commentary and CGI Jedi and stuff like that. So I'm so glad y'all are here. Welcome to Asbury. I'm Hammond Evans, the senior pastor, and it's a thrill to be with you in worship, especially on this third Sunday of Advent, when we celebrate the joy that Christ brings into our world. Today, our series is called Home for the Holidays, and between now and Christmas Eve, we're going to be talking about how we can make a home for Christ in our hearts. Today, we're talking about joy. Next Sunday, we'll talk about love, and then on Christmas Eve, the sermon title will be Home is Where the Heart Is, and we'll talk about what it really means to have Christ come alive in our hearts. So it's a wonderful time to invite somebody to come to church with you, and especially folks that you know that don't have a church home of their own, and we want to encourage you to do that, especially during this season. Would you pray with me? God of joy, we thank you for being with us today in so many different ways, and we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. So the story goes, one Sunday morning, this little boy was out in the church foyer, and he was looking at one of those plaques like many churches have. We have a bunch of them as well. And he just kept staring at this plaque over and reading every name. And so finally, the pastor saw him and took note of it and walked over to him and said, hey, good morning. And he said, good morning, Brother McGee. What is this? And Brother McGee said, well, this is all the people who have died in the service. And the little boy said, 9 o'clock or 11? Now, I hope nobody dies in the service to get today. Nobody did at 9, so let's keep that going. But today is the third Sunday in Advent. We call it Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete in Latin means rejoice, rejoice. And it is the root of our word gaudy. And so like at 9 o'clock, I had the gaudiest stole I ever get to wear. I only worn it about 10 or 12 times, because that's how long I've had. I don't get to wear it once a year. But I always thought that the rose candle, the pink candle, was for love. But that is not right. The rose candle is for joy, and it's about silliness. It's about frivolity. This Sunday is the Sunday when we celebrate that Christ is coming, amen? That Christ is really coming, and that's a joyful thing. It's a source of laughter and happiness. And so this Sunday is all about, you know, not taking ourselves so seriously and enjoying ourselves. I'm facilitating Disciple Bible study this year, and we're almost through with the Old Testament. And one of the things that we have really enjoyed about it is seeing how much joy, how much humor is in the Scripture, if you allow it to be. I mean, take for example, there's old barren Sarah, Abraham's wife, and she's eavesdropping when the angels tell her that she's going to have a baby in a year. Now, this lady's 90 years old, and so we can understand why she busts up laughing, amen? She just busts up laughing while the angels are telling her that. And she says behind, you know, under her breath, I'm old and worn out, and I'm going to have pleasure with that old geezer. That's a literal translation of Genesis 18:12, I promise. But we know the joke is on her, right? The joke is on her. Because within a year, sure enough, she gets pregnant, she has a baby, and then they name him Isaac, which means laughter. Or take another example. Take old barren Hannah. Hannah throws a huge party after she gets pregnant with the prophet Samuel. Or you might remember the story of David and Goliath. When David beats Goliath in battle, all of the women come out dancing and singing and shaking their tambourines. It's this huge party. Later on, when David gets crowned king, everybody is dancing and singing, and David gets so excited that he dances through the streets of Jerusalem wearing nothing but a fancy t-shirt. True story. The Bible says, if you don't like loud music, you're not going to like this. The Bible says they cranked up the music so loud at Solomon's coronation that it caused an earthquake. Ezra tells about this huge party that they threw when the temple was rebuilt. Haggai, the prophet's name, means party. And the Psalms are full of joy. And so is the New Testament. Matthew says when the wise men found Jesus' house, they rejoiced with exceeding mega joy. And I promised you Jedi today, so anyway, there's one on the screen. Oh, wow, yeah, those are the three wisest men I could find, right? Yeah, that's what I see when I read that story. But anyway, that's another time. But I know what you're thinking. It's joyful when a baby is born. It's easy to be joyful about a baby, but what about hard times? What about when times are difficult? But you know, almost the entire Bible was written during tough times. Almost the entire Bible. Most of the authors of these books knew tremendous pain and sorrow firsthand. What we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, was written and compiled and edited after Babylon conquered Judah. And that was a national catastrophe of epic proportions. What happened at the end of the battle, once the Babylonians had won, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon captured King Zedekiah of Judah and slaughtered his sons, who were the heirs to the throne, right in front of him. Then Nebuchadnezzar's men gouged Zedekiah's eyes out so that the last thing King Zedekiah ever saw was the execution of his two boys. So don't you believe for one minute that these books paint a rosy picture of reality. The New Testament, of course, tells the story of how God's Son hung and died on a cross. And so the Bible is really honest about suffering. Pain is real. And some of us, I know, are hurting. Some of us are afraid of what the new year will bring. Some of us have dreams that seem to be lost right now. Some of us are dealing with illness, either our own or of someone we love. Some of us have lost loved ones, and it's hard to bear the sorrow of facing the holidays without them here. I mean, gosh, we were putting up our Christmas decorations, and I have the ornaments that my family had when I was a child. I inherited those. And I'm putting the ornaments on the tree, and we're drinking hot chocolate, and we're having a good time and watching the Grinch. And it just hit me how much I miss my mom and dad. So the pain is real. And the pain of the world has not gone away. People are still homeless and hungry. Believe it or not, there was a man sleeping behind the wall on our parking lot this morning. Soldiers are still at war. And then we sing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, our readings from Isaiah and 1 Thessalonians were written in times like that. This section of Isaiah was written many years after King Nebuchadnezzar murdered Zedekiah's kids and all of that. The Jews were finally allowed to go back home by King Cyrus of Persia. But when they got there, you know, they were really excited, and then they crossed the hill and they saw that there was nothing but rubble and ashes in the capital city. God's temple had been burned to the ground. There was no church, no government, no homes, no jobs, no nothing. But what does Isaiah say to these people? The Lord has anointed me to bear good tidings to the poor, has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to provide to the mourners in Zion, to give them a wedding hat instead of ashes, joyful oil instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And they will be called terebinths of righteousness, the Lord's planting to glorify himself. Then they will build the ancient ruins. Isaiah says, things may look grim right now, but better days are coming. Amen? Better days are coming. Michelle and I used to love Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Did y'all ever watch that show? We called it the Sunday Night Cry Fest. And if you never watched it, every week a team would go and they would help a family who had suffered a tragedy. And they would do that by, they would help them by renovating their home or even sometimes building them a new one. And I always loved the reveal at the end when the family got to see what the team had done for them and, you know, move that bus and all of that. And it was always amazing. But I have to confess that I kind of relish seeing the old house being demolished. And I remember this one time they were working on a house in Wyoming. And the family had bought this house not knowing that the land was seeping radon gas. Well, since they found that out, they couldn't sell the house, but the radon gas was making their kids sick. So the team comes in, and it's time for demolition, and I'll never forget this one. So it was very unusual. They let the family stay for this one. And they loaded up the house with 300 sticks of dynamite, and then they backed off to a safe distance and blew the whole thing up. It was amazing. That's a picture of that house. House innards went everywhere. The whole roof rose up into the air and started bending around like a melty Hershey bar. But what struck me the most is when the family saw that, they started laughing and smiling and hooping and hollering. And I remember sitting in my chair thinking, that's really weird. I mean, how many times do you see somebody's house blow up like that and they start cheering? Well, of course, the answer is it's because they knew something better was coming. They knew something better was coming. Well, the Bible tells about so many people who found joy in the midst of tough times. You might remember Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi, down in the dungeon, singing praise songs at midnight. Paul tells the church in Corinth, who are being very selfish and very greedy and they're fighting each other, tells them about the Macedonian churches who, in the midst of their persecution and extreme poverty, were finding joy and overflowing with generosity by giving and giving and giving. Remember what Paul said in our reading from 1 Thessalonians just a moment ago. Rejoice always. You see, we rejoice always because we trust that God is with us in good times and in bad. Now, that reminds me of my father-in-law, Faye Pounds. Faye was the best father-in-law a son-in-law could ever have. And I know some of y'all know that he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2016, and he died just 9 weeks later. 3 weeks into that journey, we were driving down to their house for Memorial Day, and Michelle's phone rang, and her daddy was having a stroke. And you talk about kicking a man when he's down. The stroke robbed him of mobility and speech, but it did not ever steal his spirit. They sent him up to Baptist here, and he spent about a week in Baptist Hospital, and then they transferred him to BRI until his cancer outpaced the therapy. And some of those days were such a blessing at BRI. We made sure that he had somebody to eat with every meal. And so one day, Michelle had something, and I went over to have lunch with Faye. And we're sitting there, and they bring out the trays, and I wasn't planning to eat. Faye said, "Have you eaten?" And I could tell that he said, "Have you eaten?" He couldn't speak very well at all. But he said, "Have you eaten?" And I said, "No, Faye, but you go ahead. Don't worry about me." And the person bringing the trays says, "Oh, I've got an extra tray if you want it." Well, you know, I'm a vegetarian, but I was like, that's fine, I'll eat whatever. I'm going to eat with my father-in-law. So he brings me a tray, and I look at it, and I say, "Well, Faye," now this is in May or June. I said, "Faye, look, we have turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce and a roll. It's Thanksgiving." And he looks at me, and he had this hungry man prayer that he would pray every meal. Christ, we thank you for these and all of our Lord, we thank you for these and all of our other blessings. In Christ's name we pray, amen. That was how you knew he was hungry, he's ready to eat, amen? Because you can say that in a breath. But so he looks at me and he says, would I say the grace? And I said, how about you do, Faye? And he closed his eyes and he folded his hand over the other one. And under his breath, you could hear him say, Lord, we thank you for these and all of our other blessings. In Christ's name we pray, amen. One Sunday, you know, Faye was a faithful member of His United Methodist Church in Hamburg, sang in the choir for years, loved music, loved old churches and stuff, served as lay leader in all kinds of different positions in the district as well. So he really missed church when he was in rehab, and he told Michelle that he wanted to go, and so she drove over one Sunday morning and wheeled him down to the chapel service at BRI. And in worship, this man who could not even hold his own hymnal and couldn't read it if he could barely speak, started to sing. From memory, he sang his lament and his praise. You see, friends, that's how God brings joy to the world. God takes our pain and turns it into a promise. So when you and I choose joy, when we give when we want to give up, when we lend a hand when we want to let go, when we reach out when we want to run away, when we sing when we want to cry, we bring God's joy to the world, and heaven and nature sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, you are gracious and you are good. You bless us even in the midst of our sorrow, and sometimes bless us through our sorrow. And so, God, we are grateful for the joy that you bring, for the tears that we cry when we can't tell if we're laughing or crying because we're sad. God, we thank you for giving us opportunities for lament and praise, sometimes at the same time. And God, we lift each other up, especially those of us who are grieving this time of year, those of us who are dealing with fear and anxiety over what is to come. We pray for those who are ill or who are caring for those who are ill or in special need during this season. And God, more than anything else, we thank you so much for the joy that Christ brings to our world. We know that he came into this world broken by the darkness of sin, and brought light and hope and peace and joy. We give you thanks for him. In his name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. If you'd like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that today. You can, if you're joining from another United Methodist Church or any other Christian denomination, you're welcome to come down as we sing this closing song. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and would like to talk about that and schedule the sacrament of Christian baptism, Brother Nick or I would both love to visit with you about that, and we'll schedule that. Those options are also available to you if you're worshiping with us online. We're glad that you are with us as well. And if you would like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, whoever and wherever you are, just send me an email, and I'd be glad to get in touch with you and visit with you about how to do that. Well, let's stand now, and we will sing our closing song, Joy to the World.
Letter received.
invite you to come back next week as we talk about the love that Christ brings to our world. Home is where the love is. And then also don't forget about this evening. We have our Super Christmas put on by our Asbury kids. That will be 4 o'clock here. And don't forget, you can go ahead and just leave your chairs out. Amen. And just leave those where they are, and that will help. So glad you came
We're
today.
We're so glad
and,
you joined us today.
For worshiping with us here at Asbury. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.
We're so glad you joined us today. If this service blessed you in any way, please share it with someone else. You may share it on your Facebook page or by sending someone the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways you can follow up. Be sure to check out our website at asbury-lr.org. Once you get there, click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. When you get to that page, you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you better as well. You'll also be able to sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook at facebook.com/AsburyUMCLR and by subscribing to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/AsburyUMCLR. Whoever you are and wherever you are, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You may find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, simply email me at hammett@asbury-lr.org. I look forward to seeing you again soon at Asbury United Methodist Church in West Little Rock.